www.blogtalkradio.com.
The Prez unveils a much leaner military. 60 people die in Iraqi suicide bombings. Yikes, the jig is already up. And coming up here on America Tonight, a conversation with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. Part of what's on the menu for this hour. Hey, everybody. Hope you have a big appetite. Kate Delaney, ATN. As always, we zig and zag in a couple of different directions, but truly, big concern after this pullout in Iraq. Did the troops get pulled out too soon? Now, there are a lot of people who think on the military side, we knew this was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. And here we are in living color. Attackers killed at least 60 in Iraq on Thursday in two different strikes that specifically were targeted toward Shiites. And it certainly renews all of that fear of sectarian violence between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and throw in the Kurds for good measure. Unfortunately, it's the deadliest attack in a very long time, especially going after pilgrims, Shiite pilgrims, who were west of one of the major cities, you know, not too far from Baghdad, killing 36 and wounding 72 others. The series of blasts in the city left 24 dead and dozens of others walking around with blood coming out of their heads, wondering what had happened. And unfortunately, that is the theme now in Iraq. What is going on? People are losing their lives who helped the United States during the invasion of Iraq. They're being beheaded, sought after, tortured, that kind of thing. And so there has been massive concern about an increase in the Sunni-Shiite violence the second our tanks started to roll out of that country last month. And with these triple bombings and, you know, with a checkpoint being specifically one of the places where the bombs went off, and you had buses that were carrying these pilgrims that were parked, and they were most of the casualties. So where do they go from here? Iraq, of course, has a huge Shiite population in the capital and across the southern part of those regions, and so that nothing has changed. How depressing is that when you think of all of the American lives that were lost, all of the blood, sweat, and tears left in those sands after a decade, and you have the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who says, look, federalism is just a recipe for chopping up Iraq. That's what's happening. And it seemed like there was some kind of a coalition there, but whatever that coalition is, it's not working. And a block of folks who are loyal to the radical Shiite cleric al-Sadr, who was an ally to al-Maliki, he's saying, blow this thing up, so to speak. Dissolve parliament and early elections, just forget about it. And how does that make you feel when you hear that? How does it make you feel when you think of the sacrifices that that took place? The people that served again and again and again and again and again. You know, Saddam's out of the way. He's gone. Iraq will turn into an Islamic state. And then what happens? Will they go after other infidels? Religion plays a huge part in what happens in that region. Duh, we knew that, didn't we? We seg from that to our military, as I said, just leaving not too long ago Baghdad. Remember, we still have diplomats on the ground, State Department folks and whatnot. So the president unveiled a much leaner military. In a speech, if you will, or a news op, I think it was more like a news op, at the Pentagon, he was surrounded by uniforms, some of them not looking too happy, and Leon Panetta, who was sucking it up as the Secretary of Defense, who wasn't too happy originally with what was being said about cuts. And it looks like, you know, we know the military role in Iraq is done. Afghanistan has to be done. Certainly things are changing there. I can't imagine. We know that 2014 is supposedly the last date. So you had the Defense Secretary Panetta and Joint Chief of Staff Chairman General Martin Dempsey, who was there. He was flanked, like I said, by uniforms. And here's what both the president had to say about now what's happening with the military, and then his top guy, the Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta.
Over the past 10 years, since 9/11, our defense budget grew at an extraordinary pace. Over the next 10 years, the growth in the defense budget will slow, but the fact of the matter is this: it will still grow. We'll continue to get rid of outdated Cold War era systems so that we can invest in the capabilities that we need for the future, including intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, counterterrorism, countering weapons of mass destruction. Yes, our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile, flexible, and ready for the full range of contingencies and threats. We need a smart, strategic set of priorities. The new guidance that the Defense Department is releasing today does just that.
I do not believe, and I've said this before, that we have to choose between our national security and fiscal responsibility. The President has made clear, and I've made clear, that the savings that we've been mandated to achieve must be driven by strategy and must be driven by rigorous analysis. This country is at a strategic turning point. After a decade of war and after large increases in defense spending.
All right, get ready for that strategy. And Iran certainly is someplace that we have to keep in our midst in front of us, because Thursday, while this announcement was going on, there were multiple missile tests by that country and comments by all the Iranian leaders, meaning Ahmadinejad for one, that they could choke off the Strait of Hormuz. Why do you care? Is because it's a major hub for the world oil supplies. If the world oil supplies are choked off, get ready to pay more than you can afford at the pumps. That's just the long and the short of it, and we know it. Because still 18% of our oil comes from that area, the crude oil. And because other sources were not developed quickly enough, that's where we stand. And it's not just the U.S., it's allies as well. So we have to have access. We have to have access, absolutely. Now, the president did say that they're going to focus on China, and that as far as Iran is concerned, obviously we're going to have a ship in the area, at least one ship in the area. But everything else, we talk about changing the systems, it really means going to a different form of technology. And you know what that technology is? It's the drone. So will the U.S. be able to respond to whatever happens globally whenever we can? Will that change? I would say it would have to change, because how many people are you going to have in the reserves to fight if you need to have boots on the ground? Leon Panetta looks pretty uncomfortable to me. Smaller, leaner, but will we still have that strength? Will we be flexible? That's a key, key thing that the U.S. has to keep in mind, especially when the adversaries are so elusive. Coming up, a conversation with Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise, her hands are never cold.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Big news today, of course. The president unveils the new defense strategy. More about drones and equipment than military personnel and boots on the ground. Who better to have on the show than our favorite guy, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert. Jeff, thanks for popping on ATN as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
So you heard this today. Your initial reaction to what's happening with the defense cuts?
Well, you know, it's we learn from history. We learn nothing from history, and particularly liberals, they always seem to imagine that if we just get rid of the military, we'll have peace on Earth, and that's simply not the way things work. You need to have a strong military, and the first thing to cut is not the military when you're trying to balance budgets, and that's apparently what the Obama administration has in mind, and the naivete is just astounding because they have the arrogance to say, well, we're just going to prepare to fight one war, and therefore you bad guys can't engage and attack us in two wars or three wars. You've got to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. That's pretty much the story of history, and if you're on the wrong side of history, like I think this administration is, you're simply disoriented to reality. You've got to have a strong military to deter aggressor nations, because what they respond to is the application of violence or the threat of violence. If you're going to rattle that saber, you better have a big saber to rattle.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said. I think it's directly signals to friends and adversaries that we've got diminished ability now to, on a global scale certainly, to defend our interests during a really shaky, rocky, uncertain time, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's very dangerous, and we've seen this time and time and time again, though. After World War One, we decided that we're going to outlaw war. We disarmed in the Kellogg-Brad Pact, the London Naval Treaty, and all the democracies disarmed because they said, well, you know, weapons kill people and militaries aren't good. And at the same time, of course, the signal to aggressive nations was that, well, we'll just build up our military. So we saw the Nazis, the fascists, the Japanese imperialists, they just built up their militaries like mad because the signal was that, well, no one's going to oppose us. And so we saw that in the Clinton era, too, the Cold War dividend. We're going to cut our military, and yet, then we have 9/11 where we discovered, hey, I guess we do need a military. So it's these periods of peace, of course, that people somehow think they can get rid of the military and therefore we just don't need them. But it's just not correct thinking. You need a strong national defense to assure stability both in this country and across the world, because that's what, you know, dictators respond to. They embolden themselves when they perceive that we are weak, and they stay in their cages when they perceive that we are strong.
Yeah. Let's move to a place where we just vacated, Iraq. What's going to happen now? We're seeing that there's increased violence. You and I talked when we started to see this bubble up, and we've been talking now for years about it. Now it's just a reality. And is there going to be more hostility toward the U.S. as a result?
Yeah, there will. And right now, people that cooperated with the United States, if you follow some of the stories that are coming out of Iraq, these people are being executed, beheaded, shot down like dogs, and all for helping the Americans. The interpreters, the people that assisted in these various endeavors are in great danger. We also, by the way, have lots and lots of civilian contractors that are still on the ground. They're going to be increasingly put in situations of danger, and the violence is going to continue to ratchet up over time.
Yeah, I agree, unfortunately. And then there's even talk about, well, why didn't we just linger and leave some troops, even though the Prime Minister, al-Maliki, set the date originally back with the Bush administration? There still could have been a window, there could have been a way to suggest, listen, maybe we need some more deterrence here, but I guess that conversation never happened because that wasn't in the cards for the Obama administration.
No, they're very hypocritical. I mean, they were saying, well, you know, we couldn't do anything, our hands were tied because of the SOFA agreement under President Bush. Well, that just tells me that you're incompetent if your State Department can't negotiate a new statement, so a SOFA agreement. So either you're incompetent or you're not telling the truth. And I probably a little bit of both, but all along this president has demonized the Iraq conflict. And you know, when he made his speech, he said, I'm keeping a political promise. And again, who cares about your political promise? What's in the best interest of the United States? And clearly, we had a foothold in the region, a pivot, if you will, against Iran, and also a pivot for at least a shining glimmer of some democratic reforms in that region of the world. And Obama chooses just to pull everything out and see what happens.
And that's what's just going to happen with Afghanistan, too, right?
Yeah, we've lost in Afghanistan. Right now, the troop withdrawal is encouraging our enemies. And, of course, the signal the Obama administration is putting out is they're demanding that we have talks with the Taliban. And, of course, Karzai, the corrupt president in Afghanistan, is now getting on board. We're twisting his arm to talk to the Taliban. But he knows as soon as we leave that the Taliban will – they'll talk to you all you want to. And this is the pattern, again, of totalitarianism. They'll talk all you want. And, of course, they'll sign any piece of paper you want. And once you withdraw and leave – they will, you know, return to violence. And so you can't negotiate or talk with groups that are based on totalitarianism, and that's what the Taliban is. So you're talking to these people, you're kidding themselves, yourself. Same thing in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is looks like they're set to win a clear, just outright majority in the country by the time the final round of elections take place. The Obama administration has already said that we're going to reach out to the Muslim Brotherhood and negotiate with them. You know, that's absurd. You don't negotiate with these types of individuals. They will use you and play you like an old violin.
And, I mean, listen, there's some decent advisors, ex-military guys that really know their stuff. I guess they're being shunted to the background, that know about the Muslim Brotherhood. Do they just not understand what really that element is that's riddled throughout, you think, the Brotherhood?
Well, I think the Obama administration understands it. But they're caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they were the ones that pushed for Mubarak to leave power, and to a degree, we're kind of standing on the sidelines right now. There's not really too much we can do to influence things. There's going to be this round of voting, and of course, once the Muslim Brotherhood takes control, there won't be any more real voting. The next round of voting, once the Muslim Brotherhood comes into power, will be candidates that they select, so you get to choose between hell and hell light. There's no clear distinction anymore.
I like that hell and hell light. I'm going to have to steal that from you, Jeff. When you look at, in talking about this administration, when you look at this administration, of course, you know, going into the whole idea and what Obama said during the day, oh, a campaign promise. And of course, that's because he's running again, 2012. Everything's about what's coming up later this year. So when you look at the Republicans that are running, if you, especially when you talk about military and defense and all that kind of stuff, who would be your choice from that perspective?
Well, some of the strongest candidates we have, I think, is if you're a Republican, are not really running this time around. So the candidates that we have right now, I think I would be comfortable with most of them because they understand the necessity for a strong military. They understand that the symbol of freedom in this country is not the cracked Liberty Bell. It's the fighting men in uniform and the men and women in uniform that support them on the field. That's the symbol of freedom, and I think that Romney understands that vision. I think Newt understands that vision. So I think any of the top-tier candidates that are emerging understand that we need a strong military, that the world is not turning into roses and flowers. In fact, the Middle East, as you indicated, is becoming more and more dangerous. As time goes by, it looks like another round of civil war could break out in Libya as these factions are fighting to gain more power in that country.
Yeah, crazy. All right, let's go to another part of the world. This is big because we're talking about bordering the United States. And in Mexico, now it's time for the election for president. And, of course, could there be any more anti-American sentiment flowing throughout that region?
Yeah, you know, I've been singing this song for the last 2 years, and that we need to watch out for 2012, not just for our own elections, but across the border of Mexico, because the drug cartels have a lot of muscle, and they're going to put their money and their support behind a candidate that's going to benefit them. And that's not going to be the conservative candidate. It's going to be the leftist candidate. And so I expect that the leftist candidates and the leftist party will have a very strong showing in Mexico, and that could be devastating for our relationship with Mexico and Latin America in general. And so that's something we really need to keep an eye on, because it could turn very, very bad. We could have a Hugo Chavez right on our southern border, and that would not be good.
Wow, can you imagine with everything that flows? I mean, look at, they found over 55 tunnels just this past year between Tijuana and San Diego, which is shocking. 55, Jeff. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. And the drug cartels are getting stronger and stronger. The big issue is going to be, will the candidate that the drug cartels support take power, or will a more conservative candidate that understands that you've got to use the military to combat these people, will they prevail?
Yeah. Terrorism expert Jeff Atticott, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again down the road here on ATN.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In the event of an emergency, do you really trust Obama and the federal government to provide for you and your family?
Modern-day emergencies like floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, snowstorms, terrorist attacks, or anything else can strike anywhere, leaving your family vulnerable. That's why you can't afford to be without emergency food supplies. If you're like most people, you know that you need emergency food supplies, but you keep putting it off. So, to help you, Ready Reserve Foods is offering a free sample kit of emergency food so you can test our food for yourself. The food really is free. You simply pay for the shipping and we'll send you the food for free. To get your free sample kit of emergency food, simply call 800-453-2202 or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Again, that's 1-800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com. Don't wait. Call now because the free sample kits are limited. So call 800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Coming out of New Hampshire, as this show gets ready to head to New Hampshire, we're going to broadcast from there next week. And, of course, on the heels of Iowa, it's all about Rick Santorum and was the vote correct and what is he doing when it comes to speaking to groups. And he actually got off into a rocky start when he started to talk about gay marriage. And we spoke with Ellen Ratner, as we often do, from Talk Radio News, who said maybe he didn't realize that there in that neck of the woods, that's no big deal. And the reason it's no big deal is because they've had marriage in Massachusetts in that area, which is right there in New Hampshire for seven, eight years. Although he is talking to a different base of people, there were a lot of boos and cackles when he started to go in that direction. He was able to shrug it off, however, and he was also able to shrug off the fact that the vote count from the Iowa caucuses might be wrong. He was on Fox News, I happened to catch this, and he spoke to the chairman of the Republican Party of Iowa, who said that the counties that are reporting in, they have to certify all that stuff. And there was a county where there was a 20-vote mistake in his favor, but there was also a 21-vote mistake in Romney's favor. So it might have actually added up to a one-vote difference. Can you imagine? One vote separating them. Advantage Mitt Romney. Just one vote. So eight votes, one votes. What does it really matter? We're talking about delegates, and it's a small amount. It's not Super Tuesday. It's not South Carolina. It's not Florida. And certainly it's put wind in the sails of Santorum. He's in the massive money grab stages, and he's raised over $1 million really in just a couple of days. So Santorum talked about a couple of things besides that, including, as I said, the marriage question and the fact that some people were kind of at a loss for words with the direction he was veering into when he started to dip his toe in that territory. Take a listen.
So anybody can marry anybody. So anybody can marry several people. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Stop. No, this is not participatory. We're not going to do this. Okay? Everybody has a right to be happy. So if you're not happy unless you're married to five other people, is that okay? I'm asking her. Is that okay? No one's being... okay. All right. Maybe we can't do this. I'm happy to engage in a discussion, and I'm calling on people, and I'll give people a chance to answer. But we're going to have a civil discussion, or we're going to move on to another question.
All right, so that's smart. He's taking a page out of, in a way, there. He was taking a page out of Mitt Romney's book, where if you don't like the direction it's going and you see that you're kind of veering off the page, you're ad-libbing, it's not working. It's not acting. It's talking to the people when you're trying to get elected with very little sleep and going from church to library to coffee shop to town hall meeting, and it's easy to get wrapped up in that whole bleary-eyed thing, although I don't feel sorry for anyone who runs, because that's the name of the game. You got to shake the money tree, you got to shake some hands, and you got to talk to some folks. And in New Hampshire, they're used to this sort of thing, and they don't suffer mistakes very well, or if, like I said, you're veering off in 10 million different directions, they'll pull you back into it. What's interesting is now you look at New Hampshire. Tuesday is the primary there, which is big. But what about South Carolina? South Carolina is going to be some really, really tough territory. And South Carolina, if you go back in history, they say we're the state that predicts what happens in these races. And history doesn't lie. They really have been that state. So the Texas governor, Rick Perry, who was going to drop out of the race, then decided he was going to put on a sweatsuit, take a picture of himself, and say, oh, shucks, I'm going to take a run, and I think I'm going to stay in this thing. He finished fifth in Iowa, so he's in South Carolina on the ground, really pitching conservatives and fellow Southerners. South Carolina is a place where Perry definitely is comfortable. And like I said, history is on the side of whoever wins in South Carolina, because they backed the Republican White House winner every year since the primary started in 1980. They have a history of some nasty, nasty battles. It gets ugly in South Carolina. For all the nice and polite and charm and all that sort of stuff, I mean, ultimately, it is bare-fisted UFC kind of stuff when it comes to the war of words. Because you remember 2000, I was thinking about this, you know, a list of crazy moments in politics among Republicans, and remember the showdown in 2000 between George W. Bush and John McCain. There were a whole bunch of anti-McCain smears that were flying around in the wind that were, wink, wink, anonymous, Karl Rove, and it was really a huge push for Bush to get into the White House. And then in 2008, McCain was taking on Mike Huckabee that helped him clinch the nomination. And Huckabee was excited over Iowa. And he was excited about some of his backers. He had celebrity backers like Chuck Norris. And a lot of people were talking up Mike Huckabee. But in the end, McCain snagged it back from him. So South Carolina is really, really one of those places where you have massive showdowns when you look at the list of the primaries, and where it could really set the stage for who steps in there. But it's all that conversation we were having in a previous show What is it that you really, really want this Republican candidate to embody? And whoever it is, if you have in your mind the notion that anybody but Obama, people keep saying anybody but Romney, but what about the anybody but Obama folks? Then really, you want the best person that can match up against the president that has a better chance of perhaps taking out the incumbent. And it's a tough challenge because you can look at numbers backwards and forwards, but there are some numbers that work in favor of Obama. Now, what happens with the military and the ugliness of more jobs that will be slashed for military people? That's one thing that's not being talked about a lot. But all of the Marines that are cut, all the jobs that are lost there, they're going to dump into the unemployment lines. And not all of them are going to be able to find jobs. And we're talking about a significant amount of people. And how is the military going to feel about the direction the administration is taking? And the military in South Carolina plays a heavy part in that voting process. So you got about 500,000 Republicans that will vote there compared to 122,000 in Iowa, easy for me to say. That makes it a little bit different. There is a mix of interesting folks, not that there wasn't in Iowa, but there's a different mix of people in South Carolina. And you know what? I checked this number today, but South Carolina's unemployment rate, 9.9%. That's higher than our national average. And it's worse than all but seven other states. So maybe voters there might actually grab on or gravitate toward Mitt Romney because he's talking about, I know how to create jobs. I'm a business guy. I ran businesses. And Rick Perry will appeal to the religious sensibilities there, I think, the southern side of some of the people in South Carolina and the super, super conservative side. But you're going to have a lot of people splitting up that conservative vote, just like in Iowa, but many, many, many more people. The odds-on favorite, of course, is Mitt Romney. But what about Ron Paul? Ron Paul does well with military people, really, really well. If you look back at his voting in the past, even for Congress in Texas, but in Iowa, besides Santorum, and actually, really, he took the most militarily. He in the exit polls and whatnot, in the conversations, people in the military slanted the way of Ron Paul. Isn't that interesting? Tomas in Michigan, hello.
Well, I want to say hi, first of all, to everybody out there in Alaska, because I'm going to be talking about Alaska. I'm going to talk about a little lady that comes from Alaska. She is a big conservative, and she's going to be speaking to CPAC. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's also going to be doing a little thing on the Justice with Judy show or something like that, you know. And I said, well, why would she be doing all this stuff all of a sudden? And then I looked at South Carolina. And you know what? Perry's going to be in South Carolina. Huntsman's going to be in South Carolina. Romney's going to be Santorum. And all in all, there's going to be six people out there in South Carolina. And I tell you what. If Sarah Palin decided to go up there to South Carolina and say, write me in, that would be seven people dividing the vote. And if you do the math, 7 into 100%, that's less than 15. You could win that with like 18 to 20%.
Can you imagine? And listen, Mitt Romney, if he can't, he's got to get over 25% for people that are anointing him automatically the candidate, the guy who's going to run against Obama. Surely he would have to get much more than that. And that's an interesting perspective, Tomas. Thanks for the call. But I don't think Sarah Palin does that. I was watching her with Sean Hannity the other day, and I think she really relishes her role in the conversations she has with Sean and other people, and the fact that she's a little bit of a kingmaker for conservatives and for this election. She could play a bigger role with her words. I don't see that happening, although it is an intriguing storyline.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life, and they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com, and for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Headlines. What are the papers shouting? The few that are left. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody, if you know of any companies that make things in America, please send them to me at americatonight.net. In fact, I got a great email today after we had our inaugural Made in America segment. This is from Kim Farnham. Yo, Kim. She says, Kate, please have your crack research team check out Vermont Flannel in Bar, Vermont. They sell anything you need that's made in flannel. I deliver the newspaper every evening along the roads of Vermont, and I have the pleasure of listening to your show on your affiliate in Burlington, 620. Love your show, and yes, I received a gun for Christmas. Thank you, Vermont. She emphasized that. Hear you on the flip side. All right. Love that. We are going to check out that company, by the way. I'm going to try to get the CEO on with us, and it has a rich history. So thank you, Kim, for suggesting that. Before we dive into something else. I wanted to mention this about hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, even if it's been a year or two. Elle Norgren, who is the ex-wife of Tiger Woods, remember how much her name was in the headlines because of what happened with him? Well, they had a $12 million mansion in Florida, and she got that mansion, 9,000 square feet, North Palm Beach. She got a $100 million divorce settlement, supposedly, and this six-bedroom, eight-bathroom mansion was, I guess, a little bit small, so she decided that she would smash it into tiny, tiny pieces. And that's exactly what she did. She tore the whole thing down. Do you love that?
Hi, me too. Hey, can I call you?
Seriously. So she did that. And, you know, that whole media coverage, the onslaught, the paparazzi, they were just on her everywhere she went. And it had to be pretty tough to go through that. All those affairs, I can't even remember how many, but there was a gazillion. I lost count and then I lost interest, probably like most of you. So they demolished the whole thing. And she's in a rental property, I guess, somewhere while all this work gets completed on it. Boy, it'd be rough to be her, huh? $100 million settlement. Whew. That is a whole lot of dough to make yourself feel better, don't you think? I could feel better. I know I could feel better after that. Be careful what you wish for, guys. That's what I'm saying. Just be careful out there when you try to navigate those waters. All right, I said that we would check the headlines, because believe it or not, there still are some papers. That's what Kim said, delivering papers. I like reading papers. In fact, making that trip to New Hampshire, I'll read a ton of papers on the plane, out of the plane, and I still get a paper delivered. Yes, I'm all over the internet. Yes, I have an iPhone, and yes, I have the iPad, and ugh. Sometimes you get technologied out. I'm old school when it comes to newsprint. I do. I still like to hold a paper, to pick up a paper. I know it's such a novel thing. And I know it's going away eventually. Eventually that will happen. And I think what happened is newspapers should have jumped on the technology train sooner and figured out a way to do the print and the online stuff and meld them together. Some have done that. And, of course, now they're all doing it. But maybe if they'd done it sooner, perhaps, I'm saying perhaps, they wouldn't be in so much trouble because so many papers are losing money. So here are the headlines in the New York Times. If you were to pick up the New York Times, you would see, after Santorum left the Senate, familiar hands reached out. And what the story is talking about is back in 2006, Santorum lost his reelection bid, but he had a big career in the private sector. So all the work in Congress paid off for him. Duh. Isn't that everybody who works in Congress? And he had 16 years, remember, between House and the Senate. So there had to be a whole lot of friends that Santorum made along the way. Also, the other headline said this, homeless fear, serial killer in California. And they're talking about the fact that three homeless men were stabbed last month by the same person, and shelters were reporting that not too many people, like they had a sharp drop in the amount of people that were coming in because probably they were scared to death. That's why the headlines were huge, just like with the arsonist and what happened with all those fires that the arsonist had set. Besides that story, you had the homeless murders going on, and there it is in the New York paper. All right, let's turn to another paper, if you will. How about one of my papers of choice? I always like the headlines in the Washington Post, and that's one that I check every day. So in the Washington Post, this is their top headline, Iran's sense of gloom contrasts with the U.S. hope. And in the article, they're talking about, of course, nuclear ambitions of that country, and that things are a little bit bleak as the people in Tehran are preparing for maybe war. People are saying they're preparing for war. In fact, at the internet cafes, they're starting to film people and they're watching people and what they're doing, what they're saying. Remember when they had the votes, the last time around a couple of years ago. It's been now probably 2.5-3 years ago. You had people that were kicked out of the country. Media was kicked out of the country, so they couldn't really report on what was going on. And, of course, social media, Twitter was getting things out on what was happening, and all of the Internet was being shut off. And that's happening again in Iran. Well, that's what you get when you have people like Ahmadinejad running your country. Can you say dictator? How about the Jerusalem Post? It's interesting sometimes the slants that they'll take on stories. And occasionally, just for grins, I'll look to see what they're talking about. And naturally, their coverage of affairs in Israel, of course, and the Middle East are pretty right on because they're right there on the ground. The headline in the Post, the Jerusalem Post, says, exclusive, we've been briefed about new fortification measures on tour of the Egyptian border. And they talk about this electronic fence that's going to foil terror attacks they're preparing for. And so now they say we know they're real. So noticing a thread here that in Iran they're hunkering down, they're ready for war, and they're worried and concerned in Israel, same thing. And that's what the stories are talking about there. Let's give you a couple of more headlines because I think this is fun to do this, and it's fun to go through these papers actually and look at what they think is important. They call it above the fold. So the first thing that you would see if you were to pick up the paper, not the things that everybody's talking about that's buried somewhere inside, but how a paper decides what they think is the top story. And notice how it's different depending on, you know, where it is that we're talking about. How about the Boston Globe? The Boston Globe, above the fold, has this, and I think this is pretty interesting. The first story you see is, for vision and national unity, huntsman for GOP nominee. Nothing about Romney there. And in the article that follows that headline, they talk about John Huntsman being a better president than Mitt Romney. And, of course, the big story is the Globe is endorsing Huntsman, who is nowhere on the radar screen so far when it comes to this election. So they say that he could make Romney a better candidate if he fails in his bid to win the nomination. Also, there's another story in the Boston Globe, you know, the Kennedys rule there. And the headline says, Joseph Kennedy III takes steps toward a run for Congress. He's opening an exploratory committee, that's what you do, to see if he has a shot at Barney Frank's seat. Any thoughts on some of the things that we've been talking about here in America Tonight as we crunch it all together? Please send them to me. You know what to do. Go to the website, americatonight.net.